This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders on this second Sunday in Advent. Conducting our service today is the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Information on how to order copies of today's service will be given at the close of the program. We are happy you chose to worship with us today and invite you to join us every Sunday on this station.
One of the great Advent preachers was John the Baptist. His message was very clear. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. We're going to talk about that in the service today. We ask you to stay tuned. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Father, as we find ourselves the second Sunday of this Advent, we pray that your Holy Spirit will take those words of John, and we may truly know what it is to repent. We pray that we may understand that the Holy Spirit will weigh heavily upon us as he shows us our sins, but that he will lift up our spirits as he reveals to us that it was for that purpose that Jesus came, to redeem us, to forgive us, and to restore us into fellowship with you. Hear our prayer, God, as we ask you to speak pointedly into our own individual lives, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the third chapter of St. Luke's Gospel, beginning with verse 1. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the desert. He went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sin, as is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, "A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked road shall become straight, the rough ways smooth, and all mankind will see God's salvation." Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
Thank you.
friends in Christ. The four Sundays preceding Christmas are known as the Advent season Sundays. Advent, as I mentioned to you last week, is to Christmas what Lent is to Easter. It is a time when the Holy Spirit, using certain texts, prepares us for a great event in the life of our Lord. Advent has as a preparation that we might understand the birth of Jesus a bit better. And Lent prepares us for his suffering, death, and resurrection. Now, the great preacher of the Advent season was John the Baptist, who is sometimes referred to as the forerunner of Jesus. He was preparing the way for Christ's coming. So St. Luke writes this story in his gospel, and it is brought on to us. He says, 30 years earlier, there was a great event that had taken place. God had come to this world in the person of Jesus Christ. And here on that night in Bethlehem, when this babe was born, there was very little attention given to it. In fact, the mother could go out and give birth to the child in the barn. But now 30 years have gone by, and this child has grown up. And he is discovering, and the world is the people around him are hearing him say, that he is a God-man, the God incarnate. So John the Baptist is out there in the country around the Jordan River. He's preaching, and they describe him as a voice of one proclaiming the word in the wilderness. He is preparing the people to receive Jesus as a Messiah, as a Savior of the world. Now first, let's take a look at his message. He went about preaching a message of repentance for the forgiveness of sin. Who was in that audience that John had out there by the River Jordan? They were God's chosen people, primarily the Israelites. They had heard the law. They had not been affected by it too much, but they had heard it. There was crowds of people, however, that wanted to go out and listen again. For this man was preaching with some great specifics. It was not just a liturgy or a ritual that he was going through. It was not just a reading of some of the prophets. But he was explaining to them what it was all about, the crowds. I often think of that when in days gone by, when Billy Graham would have some of his great evangelistic revivals, and the thousands of people who would come, they had heard that same story in their churches. But here was one that seemed to be specially anointed, and as he proclaimed that same truth, their hearts were touched, and they went to the altar. All kinds of people. Those who had never heard before, some who were great leaders in the church. Well, here John the Baptist is telling them, in that first audience, you have to produce fruits in keeping with repentance. In other words, if you claim to be God's child, then your life is going to show it. And some evidently mumble, but we are Abraham's children. He is our father. Isn't that enough? And then John the Baptist says, don't rely on your blood relations. This is a personal encounter between you and God. And you know, you must bear fruit worthy of repentance. Because God can raise up other children. He does not just have to limit himself to Israel or to Americans or whoever else it might be. And this finally then caused them to want to know more specifically, what should we do? And the John the Baptist by this time has their attention. Well, in some ways he was rather crude and he called them a bunch of vipers. That wouldn't go very well in our day, nor should it. But they said, what shall we do? He said, okay, if you are a child of God, then there should be a love for your brother. And if your brother has no tunic and you have two, you give him the one. You give him the one. That will show that God has touched your heart. It isn't the giving of the tunic that's going to bring you into a relationship with God, but it's because you are in a relationship with God that you will give the tunic. The tax collectors came up, and they said, what shall we do? And John the Baptist said, don't collect any more money than you are required to do. Don't bleed these people from their money. And the soldiers came. Well, what shall we do? And John the Baptist says, you get a pretty good pay, don't you? You're able to live on it. Don't go out and try to get some more bribes. Here, somebody has committed a crime or something, and you say, if you'll slip me something under the table, I'll not report this. Be an honest person. And then King Herod heard what John the Baptist had said about his lifestyle. He was living with his brother's wife. And John the Baptist had said, that's sin. And Herod got angry and put him in prison. And later on had him beheaded. In other words, repentance is something that changes your lifestyle. Repentance means that you and I are truly sorry for our sins. We are anxious to confess those sins. We want to turn to Christ with our sins and ask Him to be merciful to us and to forgive us. We want to lead a new life. We don't want those sins that have been forgiven now to become a part of our lifestyle. Repentance is so terribly, terribly necessary. Now, some time ago, a man asked me, do you ever use any of your old sermons when you preach today? And I said, well, once in a while, but seldom. I just don't like to do that. But this caused me to get interested in what I preached on this text many, many years ago. And I came across a sermon that had been preached on in 1973. That's 33 years ago. There was an illustration in there that caught my attention. In 1953, President Eisenhower, in his proclamation of the National Day of Prayer, quoted Lincoln, who said in 1863, it is a duty of nations as well as of men to own their dependence upon the overruling power of God, to confess their sins and transgressions in humble sorrow, yet with the assured hope that genuine repentance will lead to mercy and pardon. Reading this quote from Lincoln, Carl Menninger, from the Menninger Clinic in Kansas, quote, this is a theological journal, said that since 1953, no president has mentioned sin as a national feeling in the United States. He says that as a nation, the U.S. officially ceased sinning some 20 years ago. This is Carl Menninger, quoting from Eisenhower's Proclamation of the Day of Prayer. It's the last time that somebody has made reference, in this case by quoting Lincoln, that it was necessary to repent of our sins. Since 1953, that's all those years ago. Has America changed? Shouldn't we admit from the White House right on down through that we are sinners and need to repent, not only as individuals, but as a nation? Has anything changed in America? Are we more godly today? No. If anything, we're worse. Because postmodern America had not yet grabbed our country in those days. But in postmodern America, we do away with the absolutes, that there be no guilt. And if there are no rights and there are no wrongs, then there is no guilt. But John the Baptist speaks to us, even today. And he says, repent, because repentance is the only positive way to deal realistically with our sins. What about the audience today? Are we hearing that voice? I believe we are. Just stop and think, people, what is happening on this Sunday? Around the world, many churches, millions of churches, are using this text that I have read for you. It is a lectionary text for this Sunday in the church year. And if they do not hear this text, they hear messages on repentance. Besides the millions of churches that are talking about repentance, think of what is happening on the radio and the television and the internet. 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, you can turn on to some program, and often you will hear repentance. It isn't that we don't hear it, but rather it is something that we don't seem to want to apply to our lives. You know, I still believe that the majority of people know that they're sinners. They may not call themselves sinners. They probably will say that, well, we're not perfect. But the natural law of God is written in the hearts of people. That's what the Bible tells us. And we know that we don't live the way that God wants us to live. But we seem to be rather happy with the way we're living. You see, when Herod heard that God wanted him to give up his brother's wife, he didn't want to do that. That was rather cozy. So he kept right on with his immorality. That doesn't affect my relationship with God at all. Two things are separate. For example, when soldiers heard that they shouldn't bribe anymore, I wonder if they ever went back and heard John the Baptist preach again. Some of them, without a doubt, did. But others said, oh, no, now he's meddling. That extra money has come in very handy. It's bought me a new house, given my children something that they otherwise would not have had. We don't like to have that law interfere with us too much. And it's not just immorality and dishonesty. It's gossiping and it's hatred and robbing from God and our poor stewardship and all the rest. Listen to this message today. Repent. Ask the Holy Spirit to search your soul and show you where you stand in relationship with God. And then repent and come to the cross. And if you've sinned against some other person, to go to that individual. That's what this is all about. This is preparing our hearts so that when we look down into that manger in Bethlehem, historically speaking, symbolically now for us, and seeing that child being born there, and we realize that this is a God incarnate who has come into this world. And he came there to forgive us our sin. Friend, here's another illustration that I found in my old sermon, still very important today. In 1930, Mark Connelly wrote a play called Green Pastures. The angel Gabriel was in the play, and he is angry with man's sinful ways and wants the world brought to an end. God, in his patience, is going to hold out for a while knowing that something better could come. Finally, in his frustration, Gabriel says to God, "Everything nailed down is coming loose. You've got to do something about it." This kind of expresses, doesn't it, how we sometimes feel? Everything that seemed to be nailed down at one time has now come loose. When we pick up our newspapers and see how people are living, don't you think it's come loose? When sometimes we take a look at the church, don't we say that sometimes everything that was nailed down there has come loose? And if you take a look at your own life and you think of some of the things that are happening there, isn't it true that sometimes we feel that everything is coming loose? But God continues to speak to us through John the Baptist. God is patient and loving. But we also must remember what the psalmist said. The Lord is merciful and gracious. He is slow to anger and abounding in his steadfast love. But then the psalmist says, he will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. There is a day of grace. There is a time when the day of grace is over. May we see how precious the gift of God's Son is as we bow in repentance and faith at the manger in Bethlehem this Christmas. Repent, and he will forgive you. Amen. Father in heaven, we give thanks to you that you have loved us so much, that you did not discard us when we sinned, but you came into this world in the person of Jesus Christ, that babe of Bethlehem's manger, that Christ of Calvary's cross, to forgive us our sin. And so we pray that your Holy Spirit will work in our hearts, that we will not only hear this law, that we will not only hear how you want us to live, but that it may take up root in our lives, and there may be living evidence that we are close to you, Lord Jesus. Hear our prayer that we ask in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. It is our prayer that today's message has brought you peace and joy in this busy Advent season. May your heart be touched by the grace that is ours through the Babe of Bethlehem, Christ Jesus our Lord. As a nonprofit ministry, Christian Crusaders is supported by the gifts of our listeners. As the year comes to a close, we remind you that a gift to Christian Crusaders is tax deductible. For your convenience, we are now able to take credit card donations by phone or mail. We thank you for your prayers as well as your financial support. Today's service is also available to be read or heard on the internet. Our website also has many other spiritual helps, including a daily devotion, Bible study helps, and a preview of the coming program. Visit our website at christiancrusaders.org. Cassette tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, radio pastor of Christian Crusaders, now in its 71st year of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.